the Lord has put in my heart about how we can always be grateful. And when you came in, you hopefully received a program, and there's an outline in the back, or you can go online. I've entitled this sermon, Faithful Love, Grateful Heart. Faithful Love, Grateful Heart. Now, we know in a few weeks we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving, and there's a lot of things to be thankful for. I've got a long list of things to be thankful for. No matter what you're facing, health-wise, economic-wise, relation-wise, no matter what you're going through today, I want you to know there's reason for you to be thankful. We are blessed. Did you know only 25%, that's one in four people on the face of the earth, have access to clean, pure water? You're blessed. You can drink water out of your tap. There's people that have to walk a half a mile, pump water, and that water isn't even safe for them. They have to filter it. That's a blessing when you think about it. In fact, I read a statistic recently that only 20% of all people on the face of the earth have access to an automobile. When you think about that, if you have access to an automobile, you are in the top 20% of people who have that ability to go from point A to point B independently on your own. Now, there's lots of other reasons to be thankful. You can be thankful for, you know, your food, your job, your computer, all those things. But I want to talk today about a deeper emotion, and that is the emotion of gratitude. And there is a difference. Thankfulness is more immediate. It's more situational. I'm thankful because it didn't rain today because I had a picnic planned. I'm thankful because I have a computer that works. It might not work tomorrow, but it works today, so you're thankful. Thankfulness is immediate and situational. You receive good news and you say, oh man, I'm so thankful to hear that. That's thankfulness. You might purchase a new product that you're thankful for that makes your life easier. And those are all good. We all have reasons to be thankful. But today I want to talk about being grateful. Gratitude is deeper. It's more enduring. And we've all heard sermons on the difference between happiness and joy. You might not always be happy, but you can have the joy of the Lord. You might not always be thankful. You might be going through a difficult time. You're not thankful that your diagnosis was cancer. You're not thankful that a loved one passed away. But you can always be grateful. And today I'm hoping to give you the key to being grateful no matter what you're going through. Gratitude is deeper than being thankful. It's more enduring. I like to call it a mindset. It's a way of thinking that reflects a continuous awareness and appreciation in your life, totally independent of the external factors. So you can be grateful even if you have a flat tire in your car. You might not be thankful the tire is flat, but you can be grateful that you're only one of five people on the face of the earth that even have a car. See where I'm going with this? It's a sustained attitude, and it's a lens that I think all followers of God and those of us that have placed our faith in Jesus, it's a sustained attitude that we should have. So today, I want to encourage you. I want to assure you, if you can begin to grasp the love of God for you, the faithfulness of God toward you, no matter what you're facing, you will always be grateful. If you'll just understand the love of God, If you understand the faithful love of God, you can always have a grateful heart, no matter if you're thankful or not. Talking about elders, I visited my Grandpa Morgan back in Wisconsin probably 5 or 6 times. I've told this story before. I learned so much just by watching his life. Every single morning, he would go to every single window. He would roll up the shade and he would say, "This is the day the Lord hath made." Now, he was short, stocky, he was from Poland. "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." He had no idea what the day was going to be like, but he determined at dawn that he would praise God until sunset. I learned that from him. And there's all sorts of scriptures that you can begin your day with. It's like, you know, don't wake up and say, "Oh, Lord, not another day." You wake up and say, "Oh, Lord, it's another day of your love and of your blessings. Thank you, you're going to walk with me." Today, I want to talk about a verse that many of you have heard and read. It's in the book of Lamentations. It's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. This is the verse I want you not just to hear. I'm going to encourage you to memorize it. I'm going to encourage you to incorporate it into the mindset of your very being. Here's what it says. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Oh, friends, if we can remember that, it's not going to matter what we're going through, because we know that the steadfast love of our Creator, of our God, of our Savior, of our Lord, it never ceases. And His mercies will never come to an end. They're new every morning. So I want to encourage you, and I mean this sincerely, memorize the scripture. In fact, when you leave this morning, you're going to be given a bookmark that we prepared for you that has this verse on it. I want you to take that and put it in your Bible, put it simply. I want you to develop this mindset of His faithful love so that you will always have a grateful heart. Don't just read the words. I prayed all week that you would have a divine revelation of the Holy Spirit to feel the truth. Feel the truth. That the steadfast of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. So you can proclaim, "Great is thy faithfulness." It's one of my favorite verses, and I think it's because it underlines some very precious and powerful principles about God, about God's nature. Now, what is a principle? A principle is a foundational truth. A foundational truth never changes. The weather will change, your bank account will change, your health will change. But a foundational truth will never change. That's why it's important to anchor yourself in this principle, because it underlines, very simply, the nature of God. Who is God? He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a God that wants to meet us right where we're at. Now, this verse is taken from a book called Lamentations. Like, you know, we're going to lament. "Oh, woe is me. Oh, everything's terrible. Oh, I just can't believe it. I just can't face another day. What else is going to happen?" We get this Eeyore attitude, right? And we begin to lament. And it's interesting that this verse is found in a book called Lamentations, because I think this is a verse that is good news. I'd like it in, you know, the hopeful chapter of the Bible, not the chapter where you lament. But I think the Lord in his wisdom knew that sometimes it's when we're lamenting that we need to remember this principle. Now, lamentation is an expression of sorrow, an expression of grief, often with this underlying sense of regret. And I want you to keep that in mind. A lamentation is an expression of sorrow or grief with an underlying sense of regret. If we look at the book of Lamentations, it's broken down to five different laments, or your Bible might say there are five different poems. But this whole book was written after the siege of Jerusalem. Now we're talking about 560 years before Jesus was born. So we're talking back Old Testament history. Jerusalem had been seized, overtaken. By far, biblical scholars will tell you this is the lowest point, the deepest valley in Judah's history. Their beloved capital, Jerusalem, had been invaded by the Babylonian army. It was completely destroyed. People were murdered, or if they were lucky, they were captured, taken back to Babylon, and they worked as slaves. And in that time, there was a prophet of God called Jeremiah. Jeremiah actually wrote the book of Lamentations. And he predicted that this was going to happen. For generations, he would say, man, we are heading in the wrong direction. People, if you don't straighten up, devastation and destruction is going to happen. Because as a whole, now there's always pockets of faithful people, but as a whole, the people of Judah had turned their back on God. They were living ungodly lives. Their society had become decadent. They had made unholy alliances with foreign nations. Their governments were just concerned about their own well-being. There was greed and corruption among the leaders and among the people. And finally, it got to the point in Judah's history that God said, I can no longer be part of what you're doing. Notice he didn't withdraw his love. He didn't withdraw his mercy. He simply said, nope, I can no longer give you the protection that comes when you're being obedient to me. See, friends, when you are obedient to the Lord, when you are in compliance with his word, there is a protective shield around you. If you step outside of his will to do your own thing, if you disregard his instruction, you haven't necessarily removed yourself from God's love. You've removed him from his protection and his provision. And that's what happened here. He decided, I'll just leave these people to their own devices. And the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. It was terrible. The people were taken captive. And that's when Jeremiah began to write this book that we have in our Old Testament called Lamentations. Now, why am I telling you all that? I'm not even to my first point yet. Because it's important that you know the backstory. See, it's always easy to proclaim God's goodness when you're on the mountaintop. Remember a few years ago when the Schwartzes were going through some difficult times. Her father had passed away and there were some other things that they were going through. I remember one day she was leading worship and she said, you know, my life hasn't been going very well, but I'm going to trust in God because I know that he has my best interest at heart. You can trust in Jesus. I've said it so often, when you cannot see God's hand in your situation, you can always trust his heart. And this message today from Jeremiah or from Lamentations, when Jeremiah said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that's a principle. That's his heart. That's why I just feel like this is something that could change your whole perspective if you understand his faithful heart. You will develop that grateful heart because of his love, because of his provision. I'm telling you this because that's the backstory. Sometimes we pluck a text out and we preach on it and we don't take it into context. So that's why I'm telling you the backstory. It's important to understand the lives of the people of Judah had come to ruin, but it was by their own fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was through their own fault. Despite repeated warnings and in spite of the fact that their destruction was their own fault, God still loved them. God still continued to extend his mercy. You know, I look back over ministry and you know people too that have really made a mess of their life. And you're tempted to say, well, yeah, you did make a mess of your life because you made this decision and you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And we start casting blame on them. Now, they need to acknowledge that sometimes the reasons that we find ourselves in the situations we are, because we've made stupid decisions. We've made decisions without inquiring of God. You read all in the Old Testament. Boy, if you fail to inquire what God wants, you're out on a limb on your own. And that's what happened to the people of Judah. That's what happens today. We make decisions without seeking the will of God, and we find ourselves in a mess. And I'd say probably for most of us, it doesn't just apply to other people. We've been in that situation where we know, well, the reason I'm here, to be real honest, is because I made a bad decision, because I violated the word, because I did something that I knew God didn't want me to do, but my flesh just took over. And sometimes we have consequences of those. But it does not separate us from the love of God that's ours in Christ Jesus. Nothing, not even your own sinfulness, can separate you from the love of God if your heart is open to his love and his mercy. Now we're going to see here how Judah was restored to God. And the same lesson applies to us. We can be restored to God. And the first thing we need to do, though, is take responsibility for where we're at. Take ownership of our actions. And there's a lot of people who are never willing to do that. You know, it started back in Genesis, in the beginning. You know, Adam, did you eat that apple? Well, she gave it to me. Eve, did you take that apple off that tree? It was the serpent. He's the one that told me that it's a blame game. We see it all the time. We see it in politics. We see it in government. We see it in churches. We see it in our own life. If only my husband would. If only my wife would. Come on, sometimes we just have to say, Jesus, will you help me make the right decision? And will you help me be responsible, to be open to the consequences of that decision? And when I make a wrong decision, will you help me to repent of that decision? Will you help me to admit that was me? Back in the day, you know, Flip Wilson would say, the devil made me do it. Oh. The devil might have tempted you. The devil might have put, you know, things in your life that would tempt you. You're the one that made the decision. I'm the one that made the decision. And even though the people of Judah had defied God for generations, we're talking about a long time, he still wasn't through with them, and God's not through with you either. Hallelujah. The candle has not burned out. The door has not yet closed. The steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Now I want to get to my points, but before I do, I want to read to you a couple scriptures prior to Lamentations 3:22. So I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to read it out of a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson. Jeremiah 3:19-21. Just listen to this, because it'll help you. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one other thing I remember. I keep a grip on hope. Martin Luther said, the cross gives you hope when there is no hope. And that's a key point. Always, friends, keep a grip on hope. And that hope is our text for today, that the love of the Lord will never cease. His mercies will never come to an end. They're new every morning. That's the hope that you have. Build your life, friends, on that hope. Okay, three things. Number one, God's love will never change. Now, you can see what my three points are, because it's the three elements of that verse. Even when by any other standard you don't deserve to be loved, even when you don't love yourself, God keeps loving you. I know that's hard. When you can't love yourself, when you feel like your family and your neighbors don't love you, but I'm here to proclaim today, God's steadfast love never ceases toward you. Now, we've all had people in our life that have loved us one day and then not so much the next day. And so we tend to kind of compare that with, you know, how God loves us. See, we tend to love conditionally. Our love for one another often is temporary. And when we say, I'll love you forever, what we mean is, I'll love you till you don't disappoint me. Or, I'll love you until it becomes inconvenient. Or, I'll love you until it's easier not to love you. And we tend to love people with this limited, short-term, easily shakable, breakable love. And the only other way that you can love people, because that's our humanness, is to let Jesus love people through you. Like Mother Teresa taught us, you see the image of Jesus in other people, and it's much easier to love them. But see, God doesn't love like we do. His love is unshakable. It's unwavering. Another word that one of the translators uses is steadfast. God's love is steadfast. God's love is not just long-term, it's permanent, it's eternal. The psalmist says, I can end up in heaven, I can end up in Sheol, but the Spirit of the Lord is still with me. Wow, that's steadfast. He's not going to say, well, I can't love you because you made that mistake. He wants you to repent, to admit it, to come back. His promise to the people of Judah proves it. If a people ever didn't deserve to be loved, it was this ungrateful bunch. If you study Judah during this time, it was terrible. And God would provide for them day after day, again and again. Even though they were in rebellion. And that's the way God loves us. You might have really messed up in your life the last couple weeks or couple months. And it might be weighing on you today. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. No matter what you have done, God still loves you and he's there to help you. He hasn't forsaken you. You might have walked away from him. You need to get back in alignment with God, but he loves you. Maybe you know people that need to be reminded this week that God still loves them. It's hard to love ourselves, and there's a lot of people walking around that don't love themselves, and so it's hard for them to accept God's love. But let me show you how much God loves you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us." Read this with me. "While we were still sinners." Jesus died on the cross even before we admitted our need for salvation. God loves us while we were still sinners. Oh, that great hymn I grew up singing and I still love to this day. It says, "How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean." You might not understand it, but I'm here to proclaim God loves you. It's the most solid thing in your life that you can count on. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to love you any more than he does right now. There's nothing you can do that will cause him to love you any less than he does right now. That's why when you meditate on this verse, remember, it's a steadfast love, and it never ceases. The second thing that we see here is that we will have all the mercy we need. It'll never run out. Jeremiah said, God's mercies will never, say that with me, never. Say it again, never. God's mercies will never come to an end. Just like some people think they can exhaust the love of God, they think that they can exhaust the mercy of God. They say, "Oh man, I have sinned. I have failed him so many times. There's no way God's going to give me a second chance." But he does. He's there. His mercy is there for you. You cannot outlast God's mercy. You might go into extra innings, but God's mercy will meet you there. Now, I just want to take a moment, because anytime you talk about God's unending mercy, you have people say, "Well, yeah, but what's to prevent you from sinning all you want then? Just go out and sin and ask forgiveness time and time again." Yeah, I've never really liked that argument. But whenever I talk about the unlimited mercy of God, I kind of feel that I need to address it. First of all, remember, you're not pulling the wool over the eyes of God. You might have fooled your parents with that stomachache so you could stay home from school. That might have worked. You might fool your boss, your teacher, your spouse. You can't fool God because he's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. If you're playing games with him, he knows that. He says, it's not about tricking God into forgiving you one more time so you can go out and sin more. When you fully understand the love and the mercy of God, you don't want to sin anymore because you are so overcome with his presence, with his love. Back to the book of Romans, the writer of Romans says this, "I don't really understand myself, for what I want to do is right, but I don't do it, and instead I do what I hate." We've all been there, haven't we? Torn. "And I know that nothing good lives in me, and that is in my sinful nature, or my flesh. But I want to do what's right, but I can't." Now, if we're assuming Paul wrote Romans, we don't know that, but whoever wrote Romans, if he struggled with it, certainly you and I will struggle with it as well. So what's our hope? Our hope is exactly what Pastor Darth talked about last week, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. The power of the Holy Spirit will give us the ability to live the way that we want to live and that God asks us to live. We can't do it on our own, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, to call upon Him. He's the one. God's mercy is never going to run out, friends. Third thing, before we close today, I just want you to remind you, every day is a new beginning. Grandpa Morgan never said that to me. And I'm generally up before my wife, and actually I do the same thing. I open up our blinds and I usually say, "This is the day the Lord hath made." Because Grandpa was teaching me that every day is a new beginning. Every day is a new beginning. See, it says His mercies never come to an end. They are new. How often? Not every year, not every decade, not at the year of Jubilee. It says every single day. Man, does that make you feel good? Every day truly is a new day. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Now, you might have some consequences. You might have some things that you need to do, you know, because of your actions yesterday. But you cannot put toothpaste back in the tube. It's gone. You know, doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You can't do anything to change it. Don't let the enemy paralyze you in your past. Don't live in the past. It's gone. If you messed up, you can say, yeah, that part of my life happened. I wish it hadn't, but it's over. Today, with the help of God, I'm going to do better. That's why it's such a great idea, I think, every morning, even before you get out of bed, to make a positive affirmation. I'm not talking about, you know, power of positive thinking. I'm talking about declaring the truth of God's word. This is the day the Lord hath made. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new today. It's kind of like sometimes when January 1st comes around, we're so used to writing the previous year, you know, in a letter or on a form that we have to fill out, or if you still use checks, you know. Soon it'll be 26, and I bet you anything, all of us, sometime the first couple weeks of January, we'll write 25, even though it's turned. Because we let old thought habits influence what we think about today. But I'm encouraging you to break that connection to yesterday and to learn to focus on today. Paul said it so well in Philippians chapter 3. This is the second half of verse number 13. And it says, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Friends, tomorrow's a new day. And the steadfast love of God will be there for you. And God's mercy will be there. And you can declare, wow, great is your faithfulness. Bible says even when we are faithless, He is faithful. You might have run out of your own faith, but you know something? God's still faithful to you. His faithfulness is not dependent on our ability to have faith. Well, I'm sure many of you, like I was, sat in front of our TV captivated by the World Series this year. And we learned some names of some Japanese players that are just phenomenal. Ohtani and that pitcher, Yamamoto, just unbelievable. But I want to end today by telling you about another Dodger pitcher. Now, some of you are old enough, you'll remember. His name was Oral Hershiser. Where is Ralph? Ralph, you remember Oral Hershiser, don't you? I knew you would. He was the World Series MVP, not this year, but back in 1988. He was the winning pitcher for the LA Dodgers back in 1988 when they won the World Series, as they did this year too, if you didn't hear. Tommy Lasorda nicknamed him the Bulldog. 267 innings he pitched during that regular season. Three perfect games that season. Now, you might have seen him a couple weekends ago because he actually threw out the first pitch in, I think it was game number 4 of this past World Series. He's still alive. Here's what I want to tell you about Oral Hershiser and how it fits into my message. He was known for his deep commitment to Jesus. He had a faith in Christ that was unshakable. He had integrity. He had a work ethic. He was a great ball player, but he was a great leader in the clubhouse. And he attributed his success on the mound to his ability to concentrate on what he called the next pitch. After giving up a home run on a pitch that he probably never should have thrown, he said, "I cannot allow myself the luxury of dwelling on it." He said, "I can't allow myself to relive my mistakes." Why? Because there was always another batter on the plate. And he said he always had to focus on the next pitch. In fact, the quote is, "The most important pitch for a pitcher is always the next pitch." I think it fits in with our verse. Today's the most important day that you have to live and to glorify God and to walk in His presence and to trust Him. But tomorrow's going to be a new day, and tomorrow's going to be the best day for you to face whoever is on the mound. The most important day for you is today. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, I encourage you to do that today. Say, "Lord, I need you." Maybe you've been looking at things to be thankful for, and you don't have a very big list this year. I want to encourage you, instead of concentrating on what you're thankful for, is to read and memorize the Scripture and develop a grateful heart. It'll help you. Today's the day. I love the way that Paul ends Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It's a benediction, and he says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ever ask or think." And the key word is now. We can look back and thank God for miracles of yesterday. We can stand on the promises for miracles for tomorrow. But as Paul says, it's now, it's today that we need to give God all glory, because through His mighty power at work within us, He can accomplish more than we can ask or think. What does this verse teach us? As I said earlier, we're going to give to you a bookmark. I encourage you to memorize this. The verse says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." That verse will teach all of us the endless possibilities that exist if we align ourselves with God, place our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. It shows us we can always be grateful no matter what we're going through. It helps us understand God will always love us. He'll always forgive us. He'll always pick us up. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every day. Will you pray with me? Jesus, you truly are the best thing that has ever happened in our lives. You've given us salvation. You've forgiven us our sins. You have promised us eternal life. But Lord, until that day, you've also promised never to leave us or forsake us. So I thank you, Jesus, that you're walking with every person in this auditorium today and watching online today. You love them. You know them. Your love and mercy has not run out. And I pray, oh God, as we enter this Thanksgiving season, that we will be thankful for those temporary blessings of life. But even more importantly, Lord, we will develop grateful hearts as we truly understand your faithful love to us. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your faithfulness. Amen. Will you stand with us this morning?